Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman and my co-host
is Marcia Stone. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Marcia.
Hi.
And we are so excited to have all of you listening to us today. We pride ourselves on providing our audience with wellness tips, inspiration, and support. And today we are going to deliver. We have on Julie. Oh my gosh. Now say the last name, Julie.
It's Julie Podolek.
Podolek. Oh my God. I don't know why I was going to go say it the other way. Julie Podolek. Okay. And she is an amazing woman, a true visionary who has created a brand of popsicles and her food product, actually, like a whole product line. It started her vision from the influence of her Southern California lifestyle and the connection she makes to consumers and brands so they could relate to her. She literally is the modern pop. Modern Pop is the name of her company, and she's going to tell us today what motivated her to create Modern Pop and how she started her own business. She is so inspirational and beautiful and wonderful, and I've been a big fan for a long time. So welcome, Julie, to the show.
Oh, Erica, you just made my day, and I feel like I have a really big head all of a sudden. But thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm excited to be on today and to share a little bit more. So thank you both, Erica and Marcia.
So, I mean, I know that you have created these amazing popsicles called Modern Pop, and I've tried them. I gave them to my kids. Those are the first popsicles I ever gave to them because they're low in sugar. They're made with clean ingredients. They're delicious. Could you just tell us a little bit about how this company got started and your vision?
Yes. So Modern Pop.
And about you.
Yeah, I love that. I'll tell you about the whole story. So Modern Pop is truly a better for you frozen desserts company. Our whole mission for being is really to bring people yesterday's classics that they know and they love, made with ingredients of today. So better for you ingredients, very clean label. My motivation, similar to a lot of entrepreneurs, really came from a need. My son was my inspiration, I guess you can say. But I really wanted to do something better than what I found out on the market at the time. Really to create something that people were looking for and that they would feel great about. And so Modern Pop was really stemmed from that need. Our son was actually teething at the time. We were living in Laguna Beach, California, looking everywhere kind of just for a simple ingredient, frozen dessert that I could give him to kind of help with his teething pain at the time. As a first-time mom, I couldn't find it. And, as a mother, as a parent, you kind of figure it out on your own. And so I did exactly that. I started making them myself, fed them to him, and kind of took my background in sales and marketing and spun off kind of this Palm Springs, kind of California vibe brand. And it kind of went from there.
Amazing. It's so amazing. And you're carried in so many stores, at least in my area.
Very West Coast centric. We actually are expanding on the East Coast, and we have a really big launch coming up nationally with a retailer, which is really exciting. But definitely kind of West Coast centric and in all of those natural and conventional grocery stores. But yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting when you see it on shelf.
So Julie, what's your background? Were you always interested in nutrition? Did you study it in school? Or just like, your own personal experience with nutrition, body image? What was driving you? Because, I have five kids too, but, I'm not over here making a popsicle, and you are. And I want to know, how did that come into your mind? That's amazing.
Well, I don't have five kids.
Well,
yeah, I have.
After two, it's totally just, honest. It doesn't matter,
Then it goes. Yeah, to be honest, I'm really not a huge foodie. And I think that, people really think that, oh my gosh, this has to be, the cleanest bar ever. And it is extremely clean. But really where my background lies is with people, with marketing and with sales. And I actually moved from New York City, and I had kind of more so, I was selling in design and interior design and really high-end home furnishing. So, you know, I think that I just really enjoy people. And when something falls, you know, on me that I need, I think that I think my husband would speak, I can speak for him, in that he knows that, you know, I get extremely passionate and I find that audience to be able to kind of speak to and sell, you know, whatever it is that I'm passionate about. So I think it was more so about that need and, you know, having it be, you know, my own brand and really seeing that there was a need in the market for it kind of enabled me to have that platform and kind of use that marketing background to elevate, you know, the actual brand story.
You must have learned so much about creating, well, not only a business, but the manufacturing aspect of it and the creating of the product. And I mean, it has this just been such an inspirational journey for yourself? What have you learned about yourself? Like what lessons have come from this?
Yeah, I love that question. I think I'm extremely impatient in general. it kind of shows, especially when you're like working hand in hand, you know, my business partner. I mean, you know, we have other people on our team as well, but you learn a lot about one another, but even more so yourself. And so, you know, I think that it's a good thing to be impatient, but at the same time, it's kind of shown me that with patience, things will come, right? And so a lot of the time, you know, it's one of those things where I always want the answer, and I go into these meetings, and you know, you want to know what's going to happen, one way or another, whether it's a yes or a no, or it's a new account, it's not a new account. You know, are we doing it? Are we not doing it? But I've learned that, you know, I really love that adrenaline to know, you know, what's going to happen the next day or the day after that, and I love that challenge and the pursuit and the chase of it all. So yes, I've learned to be a little bit more patient now that it's been a couple of years, and I kind of understand the landscape more, and that, you know, things take time.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure you've set goals and then they've met. I mean, you're in all the Sprout stores. I mean, I just see you. I see the popsicles everywhere, which is amazing. But it must be exciting because you set a goal, and then, you know, you reach that goal and you set another goal, and it's just, it's kind of, you know, builds self-confidence and it builds experience. And I think that's what, like, you know, keeps a brand continuing. I mean, as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you have to do social media and do all these other things, but that definitely is part of it, is getting it into people's hands.
Right. And it's such a journey. I mean, like, that's the thing that I love about it, is that every day is so different. And I love, like, waking up in the morning and, you know, checking my email and the unknown of it all, right? I mean, and it's only as much as you put out. So it's all like energy. And I'm a big believer of, you know, the more energy you put out, the positivity you put out, the passion you put out, you know, people want to be a part of that. It's like the attractor, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I was just looking at your Instagram page, and, you know, one of the first things that you said today was that it was sort of a California Palm Springs kind of vibe. And I'm like an amateur, like, brand studier. And so I open your Instagram and everything is so consistent that you really are, you know, connecting those dots that I think lots of entrepreneurs don't connect or don't know how to connect or don't understand. But it's
like branding.
Yes, yeah, it's very clear that, you know, you've got an incredible product, but you also have obviously put a lot of time and energy and love and expertise into your brand. Mm-hmm. And it shows through, you know, in very bright colors, which I love. So that was more less of a question and more of a kudos to you.
Yeah, comment. Yeah.
Like, you're hired, Marsha. I'm going to take over here.
Marsha's on your marketing team.
Oh,
she's going to.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Julie, did you have that vision, or was it like, have you done a lot of marketing?
Yeah, did it evolve? Or
yeah.
I love, you know, I think half the battle, especially when you are one of many, you know, frozen desserts, is kind of, you know, how do you separate yourself? How do you attract the consumer to your product versus a different product? And, you know, you learn, you know, a lot of it's price point for some people. But to have that visual and to be able to kind of touch a consumer in a different way rather than just only with a great product, I think half the battle is just kind of, you know, how can we separate ourselves? Like, how can you create more of a relationship and kind of a feeling and a mood and evoke kind of that emotion within someone? And so when you look at it, you know, if you've never seen the brand before, you know, what our purpose is like, you know, how do we get them excited? And when you look at the brand, I think it really speaks for itself in the notion of, you know, I always think about Pacific Sunwear, you know, Pacific Sunwear. I used to be like from New Jersey and I was a mall rat and I would be in Pacific Sunwear and I would like, I would want to be in California. And I think California has that aspirational, like, branding around, you know, the entire state. And I think that, you know, with our company, it's kind of, I've always thought of it as more so a California fruit company, whereby it's more of like a platform brand, you know, rather than just a product.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna ask you. So, I mean, I know you're a mom and you have this, you have your company and you have a marriage and you have all these things going on. You just moved to Connecticut too. Marcia, she moved from Orange County or Laguna to Connecticut recently. I mean, so I'm just our audience for
That's
sure.
It's a big shift.
Yeah, it's a big shift. And I think it's great. Our audience always, I think, is interested in wellness and health. And how do you keep a balance? Like, what can you tell us a little bit about what you do to have certain self-care practices or what helps you stay balanced with all these things you're juggling?
Yeah, I think... So, you know, a lot of people exercise a lot. A lot of people, I mean, everybody has a different way and outlet kind of for themselves. You know, I like exercise. For me, it's been, I mean, more so I feel like, you know, diet is more meaningful to me than even exercise. But not only diet, I really think that as a person, I think you're wired a certain way, right? And I think that naturally, I'm extremely positive. I've always been very positive. My dad is like, you know, he still calls me Angel. I mean, I have like a really good, I think, head on my shoulders as far as having confidence. But I do read a lot and I try to always, you know, be thankful and have gratitude. And so, you know, I think practicing, you know, having all of those things and kind of putting away like the day-to-day stress of having, you know, the kids and having, you know, I also really enjoy change. I know this is kind of going off. So I think like having different layers and being able to move from the West Coast to the East Coast, I feel like so grateful that I had that time there, but I also feel like excited about the new chapter. Like I always feel like I find a positive in everything and I just focus there rather than on, you know, the past and
the
what
stressors.
Was. Very like immediate with where I am at that moment rather than trying to like think about too much ahead of myself or too much of what happened or what's behind me. So I do think, you know, I journal and I listen to a lot of podcasts and that I think reading and manifesting, I love all of it. And I think when I'm in that state and that, kind of that energy state, I get so much more. Like things start happening. And I think when you start to notice that they're happening, you know, you really like tap into that energy. And I'm a really big believer of that because people want to be around it. You know, people really want to be a part of that. So there's not anything specific. I mean, I'm sorry I didn't give you more of a specific, but I do
think... No, that's a lot. No, yeah. I mean,
I mean
you told us...
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, a mental space that you exist in and being present, it sounds like, and being grateful. And all those things are self-care. I mean, those are chosen, you know, chosen thoughts. Like you choose your thoughts, you choose what you focus on, you choose your behaviors, you choose, you know, your goals and all that reflects in, you know, your life basically, you know.
Yeah. And I think some people have to work on it more than others. I mean, I think that it depends on kind of how you're wired, you know, and I think that you know, some people really have to try to train their brain to kind of think in a different direction, you know, which takes time and effort. So, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
So a little bit of a different type of question, just, you know, Erica knows this about me. I'm a little bit of a serial entrepreneur myself. And, you know, when people ask me, you know, what's the most difficult part about, you know, having an idea and, you know, executing that idea, et cetera, et cetera, and having companies, you know, what's the most difficult part? I always say that the most difficult part for me has very little to do with the business, but it's actually with employees and really, continuing to pour into them and continuing to, keep the mission statement of, you know, their workplace at the forefront of their mind and really just to nurture that culture.
You nurture them.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you always do.
Yeah, and you were saying, you know, you had these ideas and you wanted to be positive and all this. And so, you know, when you have that idea and it's connected to a product, you know, first of all, two questions. Number one, what do you consider the most difficult? It may or may not be employees. And number two, what do you do to nurture your employees, to keep them engaged in the positivity and the, you know, the dreams of what you're doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was more surprising to me, but I feel like within, you know, the consumer space, you know, being an emerging brand, which, you know, I still think that we're an emerging brand, even though, you know, we're really just on the West Coast for the most part. I think the repetition of it all, like, you know, I think until we got into, you know, these bigger retailers, you start to see that the big brands, you know, that have been around for years that your parents had, you know, in the house. I mean, they're still all around. Dawn Soap, you know, Nez, I mean,
yes,
all of these big
Tide
brands, right? And
right,
the yeah, customer is so used to those brands and their legacy brands, and they're powerful. I mean, they're not going away. And so, you know, there's capital behind them. And so I think fighting for not only that space, because it's never been a hard thing for us to get shelf space, but once you're on the shelf, having that customer, like the customer is almost trained to go to those big brands to pick them up and not think about anything else. But I really do think trying to get that like mental share and that to take that brand away, you know, and have them try something new is extremely difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But then I think it's also, you know, I think now more than ever, there's so many people that are more open-minded to, I mean, and not in all parts of this country, but
that's true.
Yeah, but yeah, more open-minded to, like, Julie, you had the mint with the avocado, right?
Yeah. And I mean, so for us, the avocado bars, you know, they did well. I don't think that they were where they needed to be when we put them out into market. And so, you know, again, like, I think it's an interesting concept.
But I'm just saying, I liked it. I thought it was good. Yeah, but my eye went to it because for me, I had kids and I was like, oh, great. There's some like healthy fats in this. There's, you know, and I don't know, just because maybe I was raised in California and I've always eaten pretty clean and I just am more of a Mediterranean lifestyle. And I wanted kind of something like that. You know, when your kids are little and your first child, especially the second, you're right, Marcia, it's like, okay, it doesn't matter what they eat. But with the first, you're like, oh, okay. But I'm just saying, Julie, and maybe that didn't do well, that popsicle, but it was really eye-catching for me. It was attractive is all I'm saying, you know?
Right. And I think that there are those people that see different things and they do try them. But for the majority of like mass America, I think that it's a little bit on like, you know, how do you market to them so that they see it and have them taste it so that they're like, they understand the concept of it. And so I think that's kind of tricky. And so surprisingly, you know, until we were on shelf, I didn't really realize that they command so much attention. And a lot of that's driven with like marketing dollars, lower price points. And so it's kind of like on the branding side of it, it's exciting for a smaller emerging brand like us, because it's like, you know, we have authenticity that those big brands don't have. So how can we, you know, elevate that to share our story and kind of get more attention that way?
It's so true what you were saying though before, because I think, you know, a lot of the brands, even today that I buy, were the same ones that my mother bought, the same ones that my grandmother bought, et cetera. But, you know, to Erica's point, I do think that these days, you know, people are more interested in their health and more interested in really learning for themselves, you know, what is available out there. So, I mean, it seems to me that with your type of business, are you going to add other things to it? Are you going to stay with popsicles? Like, what do you think the future is going to hold?
Yeah. So, like I said before, I mean, I really think of the brand as a platform, California Foods brand, that really stands for something so much more than one product. So I've never thought of, you know, modern pop was always about putting pop and color into kind of quiet categories. It wasn't necessarily meant to be like, you know, popsicles only. But I think, you know, we definitely have big aspirations. We have a lot on our pipeline. But at the same time, I think there's something to be said for kind of like, keep it simple, stupid, you know, like before, and I'm a very fast moving person, but I think before you can move too fast, you really have to make sure that that customer understands like, what is modern pop? It's a fruit first. It's all about putting fruit first. It's a clean label brand. And I think that, you know, we're not at the next stage where we're going to bring out a new product, you know, immediately. But we have some really innovative, different concepts and formats that, you know, we're kind of working on in the background, because that's part of it, you know, is always having, you know, something that's next.
Yeah, that's great. That's so great.
And that keeps it exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
It is.
Yeah. And Julie, so when you moved, did you have any like challenges like telling people what you did? Have you met a good community? Like, is that important to you to find, you know, people that are like-minded? Or, I mean, because you're positive, obviously you connect with people easily, but has that been a challenge kind of moving your whole life and lifestyle and a whole family? I would think it's a little bit of a challenge regardless whether you're excited or not.
Yeah, I mean, I really will say I absolutely love the town that we're in. Really great people, a lot of New York transplants. And I mean, I'm from New Jersey. My husband's from New Hampshire. So I think that we are very used to the types of people here. So, you know, I really am thankful that we landed here and we're closer to family, which is a really big deal. My dad's in New Jersey. My sister's actually in Aspen, so that doesn't help much, but her husband's kind of local to here, so we get to see him a lot more. But, you know, the people have been amazing. I think that for the kids, it was the right move for our family. And, you know, it gives me more to work on, because we have a lot going on kind of now on the East Coast a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think it takes time to meet your people. And we've just been fortunate to have like a good circle here already. So
that's so good. That's a good community, you know, community at work, community in your personal life. I mean, those are some of the things that Eric and I talk about a lot, you know, with nurturing yourself and, you know, taking care of yourself despite your other roles, like as a mom, as a business person, as a wife, as, you know, a volunteer at whatever you do. So I know you were talking earlier about sort of the daily practices or sort of the mindset that you have, but for other women who are, you know, listening to this, who, you know, really want to be entrepreneurs, who really want to, you know, follow in your shoes, so to speak, like what would be the piece of advice that you would give them that you wish someone had given to you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, this is a good question. I really think being comfortable and really believing in yourself before you start. I mean, I think that, you know, to your point of what you just said, I think self-care and, you know, having that internal like fire of knowing that you're capable is so important, right? So I think that in order for somebody to really take a step forward and believe in like a product or a thing that they're going to do or accomplish, they have to really, you know, make sure that they trust themselves and that they can do it, you know, and that they feel worthy and that they're capable, because you have no idea like how many times people kind of want to say, oh, you know, don't get in, you know, you don't want to start your own thing. It's so much work. And it really is. And I actually remember having those conversations with people being like, oh my gosh, are you really going to do this? You know, it's a long journey. But, you know, I think going with your own gut and being able to take that step forward and just, you know, believing in whatever you're going to attempt to do. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, it might not happen in a day or a month or a week, but having that commitment to it and to yourself.
Yeah, that is great. That is great. I mean, I think so many people have, you know, I mean, Marsha created she's been running a big center, a treatment center for many, many years, and, you know, stepped into like a very big role and has, you know, been a visionary. And I think, you know, I think just me writing a book even and all these different projects we've all had at different points in our lives, like, you know, it was obviously a goal for me to write a book. And then, you know, you have to execute that. You have to hold yourself accountable. Marcia, you've done the same with a big business. And Julie, you're doing the same. But I think it's hard because a lot of people have these goals or just dreams or desires. And, you know, it's, like, I just tell people just to try, because I think, you know, if you don't, you regret it, and something's like burning inside of you, or if you're not like following an authentic path, you know, it's going to affect your health. It's going to, you know, affect your relationship. So,
agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really important, I think, for people to hear that if you feel something authentically and it really, you know, comes from your heart, then it's worth trying. I mean, that's what I would probably say.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I mean, I feel like life is like very limited in time. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's really guaranteed a certain amount of time. And I think that, you know, the one thing I will say about COVID that's been so amazing is that it really gave a lot of perspective to a lot of people. I mean, it's obviously been hard in some aspects, but I think it also allowed people to slow down. Like, it forced people mm-hmm. to kind of take a step back. And really kind of evaluate like their work-life balance and what's meaningful to them, you know, and how much time do they want to spend with their family and things like that. So I think that all of that really matters.
It does, for sure.
Oh, I love that so much. You are such a delight. Thank you so much for being on our podcast today. I know that our listeners yes, are going to get so much out of this, because you're very positive, but you're very honest. And I think that, you know, yeah, well, Erica already knew you, but now you have a big fan in Austin, Texas. So thank you so much for being on with us today.
Yay!
Yes, yes, yes. And we love popsicles.
I know, I love this.
So you'll have to tell me where in Austin.
These conversations. Yes, and these conversations really get me going. So now I'm all like, you know, ready to do something.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I was just going to say, where can everyone find you, our audience? Where can they find you? Tell everybody.
Yeah, so on the East Coast, we just actually launched our fruit bars into Wegmans. We are also launching the fruit bars into the Fresh Market, which is a great retailer that's kind of East Coast, and it goes down into Florida as well. In Texas, we are in Central Market. Central Market is a great, great retailer. On the West Coast, we're in Gelson's, we're in Whole Foods, we're in Bristol Farms, we're in Ralph's. And then soon we're going to be in a place where most people can find us, but I'm not going to say it quite yet. But that will be more widespread. So that's super exciting.
So it is Gelson's that I get it, not the Sprouts. Sorry. Yeah, I only go to two stores here, and I always see yours in one of them. I just forgot which one. Okay.
I love Gelson's.
That's it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You guys are amazing, though. I really appreciate the time.
Of course. We're so happy to have you.
Of course. Our honor. And so every time we have our show, at the end of the show, we always ask our guest what we call the deep dive question. Are you ready for that?
Yes, I'm ready for the deep dive question.
You're ready? Okay. Okay. Tell us, what is your superpower?
I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, no one is you, and that is your power. Mm. I think my superpower is my own being and the reason for, you know, my being here and my purpose in my life. So I would say my superpower is, you know, my actual human. I think it's a people superpower. I love getting connected, being connected with people. I think in life, you know, business and relationships is the business of life, rather, in every aspect, whether it's personal or professional. So
no one
is you, and that is your passion.
That's a great one.
I love that. No one has ever said that before. That's so
I know.
Good.
I was going to say, we haven't heard that yet. That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Julie.
Yeah, and I love when people say, oh, you can't do it. I say, well, maybe somebody else can't do it, but you can do it. So, I mean, you got to believe in yourself before anybody else.
Yep, you do.
Thank you guys so much.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to all our listeners today. And until next week, be well.